Good morning once again, brothers and sisters. And today I thank the leaders of this congregation to give me the opportunity to talk here. First of all, I'm just a lowly servant, one just like you. I never put myself think I'm any better than anybody. I'm just one of you. I'll tell you a little bit about my background. I'm from Guyana, in South America. I was born there, and I was added to the church in 1993, so it gave us a little bit over 32 years. I've always been teaching and preaching and doing the Lord's work, because for me, He's number one in my life. God is always there for me. God will always be there for me, you know, because I realize that when I leave this earth, which might be soon, I know that I will stand before God alone. I know that I'll leave every material things that I own on this earth. They're not mine. And all that I have is my deeds and my love with God. That's what I'll have. And that's what motivates me to do God's work and to be just a humble servant of God, you know. I would like to talk about forgiveness, in a sense. And I would like to share a little story about this forgiveness. I like to talk about things that affect me in my life, the people that I have seen. I like to talk about them. This is about my cousin. I had a cousin. He was much older than me. You know, he was very, very older than me. And I was a little boy in that time. And he went through some hard times in life because his father was murdered when he was probably about 13, 14 years old, and he had about six other siblings. They were all in stage to the baby, and his father was brutally murdered. His mom decided to sell the plot of land that they have, that's a next story, but sell the land and move into the Pomeroon River. She bought a plot of land there, and she do farming. And he was her right hand. They were very close, and they worked together for years, you know, and she did it alone, single parent, look after her kids, without no help from anybody. But the two of them bore the brunt of it, working farmland. He got big in his 20s, and I don't know, he went on a trip, and he met some lady, some girl, and he decided to get married. He didn't ask his mom, tell his mom, he didn't even return. You know, he stayed, got married, and lived with them. They were wealthy people, and he lived there. She was very, very much annoyed. She was so heartbroken. And I could remember years after, about 8-10 years, he started getting problems with his wife and his wife's family, and he realized that he has done his mother wrong. He realized that he was so wrong, so he came down. He stayed in our house. We had a little house. He stayed in the same room with us. And he took my father, and they went to his mother to beg for forgiveness. My dad says that he went down on his knees, touched the ground, touched her feet, and he bawled his eye out, and he beg her for forgiveness, and stone-heartedly she would never talk to him again, never. He says never she would talk to him again. She didn't give him forgiveness. I could remember when he came back, he was in the room, and he was crying. And the morning he was leaving, he took his pants and he ran through it. He took out a little change and he gave it to us, the children, and he cried and he went away. Shortly after, he was murdered. His wife family, they killed him. Murder him, throw him in a field, they find him. So when they send a message now to come down, my dad and his mom had to go to collect the body and bury it. And I could hear when she coming in that bus, and she's calling and she's screaming. I could never forget that scream that she did. She regret that she didn't forgive her son, you know. She regret that she didn't forgive him. She never had a chance again to do that. She's still alive today. She's close to 100 years old. She's still living. She look after her kids. She did everything. But that hole is in our heart. We as Christians, we have been given forgiveness from God. God has forgiven us of all our sins. Big debt. God. Yet sometimes we forget to forgive the person that hurt us, that trouble us, right? We forget to forgive them. And also, we forget to ask for forgiveness. This is very important in a Christian life, you know. And we see from our reading here with his servant, you know, and say the king is, look, like Jesus is telling this parable, and he was talking, the king probably was God, right? The servant owed him some money, lots of money, and he begged, and he put himself down and he begged, because his wife and his family would be sold away for the debt that he owed, right? And that king forgave him all his debt, forgive him. And yet when he goes and he see the person that owe him just a little tiny bit of money, he threw that person in prison, right? He threw that person in prison for that little bit of payment. Is it like a hypocrite, huh? Is in that, you see? And Peter asks, he says, how many times should I forgive my brother when he sin against me? Seven times? We counted, yeah? Seven times. Jesus says no. 77 times. Jesus doesn't mean that in number 77, he was talking about infinity. As many as the time that your brother comes before you and asks for forgiveness, you should be willing to forgive. This also bring to me another story that happened. You know, I would like to tell you about that too. You know, this happened back when I was my first congregation that I was there. We didn't have elders, so we had the men that would sit and make the decision and so on. So we had a brother there. His name was Varnum. Now, he was a very, very nice person. I really, really like him because he was there for anything in the church he would do. You ask him, he would help. He was a good servant. He come to church every Sunday. He come midweek Bible class when he have time. You ask him anything, you know, he would do it, you know. And I used to handle the finance for the church, so I knew lots of things, you know, he would do. Now, he came to the congregation one day and he stood up and he says, I'm sorry. I'm very, very sorry. Please forgive me. And he's crying. He says he went out and got drunk with the men in the area, and he's very sorry. He come, he asks forgiveness. So it's okay, we forgive him. Congregation forgive him, he's there with us. He did it a couple of times. Now we had a young preacher who was just out of Bible school, and he was a very good speaker. He was a very good minister, and he is in the congregation. He became the minister there at the congregation. You know, one time Varnum came in, and he's same story. He's sorry, he's crying and this and that. And he says, the young preacher says, no. We have to disfellowship him. We can't have him doing this every day and every time like that, right? No. I'm a bold person. I speak up when it's time to speak, but it's not about me, right? But I says, no. How many times you have to forgive your brother? You know, I says, do you know this guy? Do you know his story? Do you know he live alone? Do you know he works late in the night? He have no friends. He comes and hang out with us. He make mistakes, you know. And he comes out here and he stand up before the congregation and he asks for forgiveness and he cries. I says, how many times other people do things and they do not even come to ask for forgiveness? I says, he come to ask for forgiveness and we have to forgive him. Right? And the men agree with me. We forgive Brother Varnum. He got stronger. He continued in the church. One night he was coming home. He got killed. He died. Right? But he continued in the church. And the young preacher, guess what happened to him? He fell away from the gospel. And he became a drunkard. Right? On to the church. Became a drunkard. You know? See? How that happened, how that story happened. Forgiveness, we have to forgive people. But anyway, about 2 years ago, he came back to the church and he asked forgiveness and he's back in the church. I'm happy about that. But the story is, the moral of the story, we must forgive those who sin against us. We cannot be this proud and high person all the time. We must be a humble servant in God. God has forgiven us all our sins, yet we look down on others and say, oh, We cannot forgive them. Lots of trouble happens like that in the church and in the world. Jesus says in verse 35, he says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Unless you forgive your brother from your heart. We have to forgive each other, truly forgive each other. We have to be sorry, you know. We have to be sorry when we do wrong and also when people do wrong against us. That's the heart of a Christian, to be a forgiving person, to forgive people and to ask people for forgiveness when you do wrong. I have two grandsons. They're about the same age, right? They're the same age. And they will fight when they were together. One day one of them hit the other. Everybody see, hit him, he was wrong. Tell him, say sorry. Say sorry. He wouldn't say sorry. Because, you know, I don't think he realized that he did something wrong, right? And he would not say sorry. No matter what the punishment, he would not say sorry. Now the other one had an apple and he pelt it and he hit a little girl straight in the head, his cousin in the head, his hand is straight. So he ran to the chair and he sat down. My daughter says, so you did something wrong? He said, yes, I did something wrong. He said, what do you have to do? He says, I'm sorry. Put me in timeout. I'm in timeout already. He put himself in timeout, right? Because he knew he do something wrong, you know? That little situation is what we have to have, right? We have to be humble. Humble as Christian when we do something wrong. We have to be sorry, truly sorry, and then we can be forgiven. We can ask for forgiveness. You know, pride, when people are up here and they think it's just a situation, they don't want to say sorry. They feel they're wrong. And you know, they don't want to acknowledge that. But we as Christians, we have to acknowledge when we're wrong. We have to truly be sorry, you know. Because, let me tell you something. Life and God and being a Christian is not a game. It's not a game. We may think it's a game when we're here every day. But that one day, when our life is called away, that one day when we face God and none of us know that day would come, when we don't have no other chance to change it, then we will know the true meaning of eternal life. Then we understand the true meaning of being a servant to God. We won't have time to change anything. So if you are listening today, if you're listening to me today and your life is not right with God, now is the time for you to put it right. Now is the time for you to ask for forgiveness. Now is the time for you to straighten up, to stand up and be a real servant of God. If you're here today and you're listening to this and you have not put on Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, there may not be tomorrow. Now is the time that you have to look in your heart and say, I will do this. I want to have eternal life. I want to be with God when I die. Now is the time. There may not be tomorrow. There might not be no other time. You think about it. Think about it. That's why I've preached at a couple of funerals and they've been very, very hard. The last two has been very, very hard for me. One was at a 17-month-old baby, and the other one was my brother, right? And I still have to draw the attention to people. I says, this would be us one day. We do not know when, right? But one day, we will be in that same position. We have to make our life right with God, you know? And people would listen. People would listen. But guess what? Next day they'll go back to the same old life. It comes in one ear and it goes in one ear. You know, we as Christians, we have to be prepared to meet God at any time. First Peter 5 and verse 8 says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. Be self-controlled and alert. The enemy, your enemy, the devil prowls along. The devil doesn't care about you. The devil doesn't like you. No, he doesn't want nothing. He's going on the bottomless pit. He's going to be destroyed by God. He's going to be chained. And his idea, he doesn't want to go alone. Right? He wants to take as many people with him. That's why he prowls along and he waits for you. He waits to devour you. He's a lion. He's like a lion. He's looking every day for you. How can we be strong? How can we be strong? We have to keep on our guards. Be on our guards against the devil. We have to resist him. Standing firm in our faith. We have to stand. What does it mean to stand firm in our faith? Be in obedience. Be a good servant to God. Put on Christ as a personal Savior. Humble yourself. You know what the devil is scared of? He's scared of a Christian on his knees praying. Yeah. He's scared of that. We have that opportunity in Christ. We have that personal protection of Jesus. We have the Lord Jesus to advocate for us, to stand up for us. We shouldn't be afraid. Once we stand firm in our faith, once we keep on being a good servant, the devil wouldn't have space to come in our lives. But anytime we put down our guard, he would be there to grab us. He would be there to hit us and keep us down. Christians throughout this world, they are suffering. We live in a world of very, very much problems and trouble. Eh? You put on the TV and you watch the news. I watch it all day. I watch the news, what's going on with the bombings and the killings and the threat of nuclear war and everything. There's so much problems to keep us down. That's why it's important to us for our relationship with God to keep us strong, to keep us sane, to be on our guards, you know. Christians, resist the devil, stand firm in the faith, you know. You must be careful to know about the pitfalls of life, to be know this daily life that we go through is a struggle. It's a struggle for us as Christians when we live in this world. It's a lots of problems and struggle. And we always need God in our life 24/7. We must stand firm. We must keep God at the top of our life. Anything we do, as I said in our Bible class, we talk to God. We communicate with God. You see, forgiveness, prayer, everything goes hand in hand. As a Christian, we have that avenue to talk to God. And that is a big privilege we have. Imagine mighty God, as our brother says, how strong he is, how he lift that son, how he put that son, everything in place, how mighty our God is. And we as little, like the ants, we have that opportunity to go to God in prayer, to talk to him, to have fellowship with him. Imagine how that privilege. And all of that privilege was given to us because Jesus paid that price at that cross for us. He took all the sin, all the burden, and he paid with his body and his blood. It was a terrible price to pay. And we must remember that. That's why every first day of the week, we meet together. We gather together to break bread, to remember the body and the blood of Jesus, to remember, to refresh us on the struggle that the Lord went through to put us in that place with God. We must remember that. You know, in life, there are very much lots of pitfalls. And we as Christians have to understand and learn how to navigate those pitfalls, right? We have to understand that, and we have to navigate it. Prayer is one of the ways, right? Have faith, have forgiveness. You know, I could remember, I'll tell you another story. I could remember, I used to live in the interior in Guyana, the Amazon forest. You know, my dad was the agri officer, so we had a big house and the land was big. And we had lots of chili. Lots of chili, or pepper we call it, would grow very, very hot and all colors, and they were very nice. And the native people, lots of them would stay in the dormitory right next door neighbor, and they would live there, boys and the girls. And they would come over. One day they came over and they says, they want some chili. I says, oh, you're going to cook? They says, no, give us some salt. Give them some salt. And they picked this chili, and they was ducking it, and they was eating it. And they was eating it. I was amazed because I know this thing. Say, you want to try it? I said, yeah. I try a bit. Oh, man, I ran away and screamed. It was so hot. You know, they came back the next day, and I'm watching them, and they're eating, and they're eating, you know. And it's hot. So I says, how do you do it? And then they said, the secret is, when you eat, you don't make it touch your lips. And I try it, and it worked. Just get what? I try a couple of times, then you mistake one time and it touch you, and that's it. You know? So you have to remember the pitfall, you know, because it burns a lot, yeah? So every time you eat it, you got to be conscious and you got to be very strong. You got to think and put it to the right place, or else that's it. One time and you think. That is like life. That is like the Christian life. We got to remember what pleased God. We got to remember the basic of Christian life, the forgiveness, the heart of a servant. We got to remember our position, and we got to keep that. When we slip, when we fall, remember, like the pepper burn you, remember we could go back to God and ask for forgiveness, you know, but it keep us there in line. We have to put our life right. We have to be in the struggle. We have to understand that the devil is like a roaring lion. He's waiting to devour us. He's waiting and watching every moment you make. And the stronger you get, and the stronger you be with God, he wants to keep you down. He wants to keep you down. You know? He doesn't want to give you an opportunity to be with God. He wants to pull you back, you know. Even when I've got this opportunity here today to talk to you and to preach, you know, the devil was about, he would not give me a chance. He wanted to pull me down last week. I was so very ill, you know. I couldn't even speak, you know. I was very, very, very much ill. But I says, no matter what comes to me, I am going to speak. I am going continue the work of the Lord. I'm going to talk. He doesn't want me to talk. He wants me to be out of the game and be with him at the bottomless pit. But I wouldn't make that happen because I trust in the Lord. And that's how we should live our life. Focus on God. God is the most important thing in all Christian life. All our life. God is the most important thing. Because when we meet that place, when we die, then we will understand why we struggle. Then we will understand the gift of God. God is so mighty. He's so powerful. You know? He will help us. He would help us in all the suffering we do. We have to love each other. We have to forgive each other. We have to be humble for God. For God has given us his only begotten Son, Jesus. Jesus was very humble when he came on this earth. Look at the way he struggled with that cross. Look at the way he was beaten. He was spit upon. He was nailed. And he was crucified. We wouldn't go through that. We wouldn't go through that problem that Jesus went through. We have little trouble, little problems when it comes to what Jesus went through. And yet sometimes we thought it's the end of the world. we give up. We can't. We have to be strong. We have to be strong in God. We have to remember that God loves us. He loves us so much that He gave us His only begotten Son so that we may have hope. We may have eternal life. We may have that opportunity in going back to the Lord. So when we go there, when we go out in the world of darkness, when we go amongst men, we must spread that light. We mustn't be afraid. We mustn't be afraid. Afraid of the men? No. Of people? No. We mustn't be afraid to spread the word of the Lord, to tell people about Jesus. No matter what the world would say, they would like to close you off and like to say, don't talk about religion, don't talk about... No, we have to talk about it. It's a gift that we have given from God. And we have to talk about it so that more people may know about our life. We have to talk about it, you know. As I said before, in the thing I was talking about, my grandma, who didn't know to read and write, but she ensured that our kids pray and knew. I don't know how she knew about the Christian God. Maybe she listened to it somewhere or something, but she did that. And now nearly all of our kids are Christian, grandsons are preacher, you know, all that she did, you know. That's why we have to live our life as we are an example to others. Live our life, you know. The best sermon a preacher could preach is by living a healthy and a good life so that others may see. We may feel that because we are a weak servant, that we cannot do nothing in the kingdom of the Lord. But we can. We can. Any little thing we can do to spread the word. Any little thing we can do to help others about and teach others about Jesus. So here we go back to forgiveness. We must live our life to forgive each other, right? As God has forgiven us. We must not be like the first servant. You know, he got forgiveness, just like us. We get forgiveness from God. But yet the person, right? The person that sinned against us or owe us a little debt, we go after them. We also must be a forgiving people. We must be a person that forgive and to help each others. That is my message for today, you know. Go out there, be great servants for God. Spread the light. And if you're feeling down, pray about it. Talk to God about it. Look at your life. And if you're here today and you're not right with God, think about how you could improve. Think about eternity. Make your life right with God, because now is the time. If you are here and you're not put on Christ as yet, now is the time. Look at your life. Don't chance it for tomorrow, you know, because we don't know what tomorrow would bring. Let us all pray. O most kind and ever-loving Heavenly Father, as we come before your mighty throne, thee God, to give you the praises, the honor, the glory, and the thanks, thee Father. We thank you for this wonderful time that we have, thee God, so we could worship you freely in spirit and in truth. We pray that you may bless each and every heart, bow in your presence, thee God. Help us, thee Father, that we may be a forgiving heart, thee God, that we may forgive each other, thee Father, and live in love and harmony, thee Father, that we may spread that light, thee Father, in this world of darkness, that we may be able to let your kingdom grow, thee Father, that more people may want to see us and join us in giving the praises, the honor, the glory, and the thanks. We pray for our brothers and sisters who are sick and those who are spiritually weak, thee Father. We pray that you may lift your healing hands and make them well again. We pray for those who are falling away or feeling weak, thee God, for you. We pray that you may help them, thee Father. They may look to you, Father, and they know that you are a forgiving God, thee God, that you will forgive us, thee Father, our sins, and help us, thee Father, so that we may keep on going in this life, thee Father. Continue to be with Brother Ryan and Brother Harold, who was sick, the God, be with them, strengthen them, guide them, and protect them. Be with the others that we do not know. We do not know the God, but you know. Be with them and heal them and make them right. Be prayer for Christians throughout this world who are facing problems and trouble for your name's sake. Be with them and guide them and protect them and help them, the Father. For we ask this and many more mercies through Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you very much.